This is an Ace Radio podcast. Welcome to the Women of Influence special series, 100 Women in 100 Days, celebrating strong, resilient women from all walks of life. Here's Kate with today's episode.
Amber, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Amber, kind is cool.
It is.
Where did this all start for you?
This started about 3 years ago. I was working in a corporate workplace and was being bullied. And I chose to leave the workplace due to the bullying. And I designed my two little boys some T-shirts. I saw clothing as a blank canvas for any message, really. And I thought I'll design them some T-shirts with some kind messages on them. And my sister said to me, hey, can you do one for me? And so I did one for her. And she said, I reckon you could sell these. And I was like, oh, nah. I was kind of scared of putting my face out there. And, you know, there's this whole shame of being bullied that happens while you're being bullied. Now I can see that that's not the case. But, you know, while you're in the thick of it, there's this whole kind of weak connotation that goes with being bullied. And so I kind of wanted to hide from it, but I thought, oh, okay, I'll do a website, I'll do an Instagram, and taught myself entirely how to do all of it. And it kind of snowballed from there.
It's an incredible story, and that's why it's so cool to have you on the podcast. And National Be Kind Day is happening tomorrow. I mean, I was going through your website. 2 in 3 young people every week are ending their lives due to bullying. We had Kate Everett on the podcast in 2019, and it is still one of our most downloaded podcasts. It's just too much, isn't it? We have to make cultural changes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's something that is thankfully more talked about now in this era, and especially, you know, social media makes it worse, but it also makes it better because it's something that you can reach the masses and talk about either your experience, or you can educate people around bullying. You know, it's a bit of a two-sided thing, the social media, because, you know, last year during COVID, online bullying went up by 40%. But then, you know, we can use the platform to educate people around bullying also.
Mm. What is it like to be an adult? Can you describe it for us, to be in a situation where you're bullied? And the reason why I ask is because it feels like as women now, we can be armed with all the tools that you need, and you think that you know how you will react in a situation or how you will handle it or those types of things. But when you're in it, it doesn't matter how many tools you have, it's horrific.
Yeah, look, I'm a pretty strong person, and it really affected me. And I'm not downplaying what happened to me, but I don't think that my workplace bullying was in the really bad category. I mean, it definitely affected me, but I guess as an adult, you question more, and it depends who you are, obviously, but I really didn't understand why this person was doing what they were doing. So the not being able to understand why it was happening, I think, was kind of greater as an adult, whereas a kid, you're still learning. And while you don't understand, you don't think as deeply about things in certain ways. But, yeah, as an adult, for me, it was more the confusion and the misunderstanding of why is this happening?
Did you have the, if you don't mind, you know, to go and report this to HR or to the bosses? Was it something that you could pinpoint, or was it a subtle type of bullying for you?
Yeah, look, I wasn't the first person and I wasn't the last person to be bullied by this person. And I did take it further, and nothing was really done about it. So that's why I chose to leave. And like I said, it didn't stop with me, and it didn't start with me. So yeah, there were other people that were definitely impacted by this person's behaviour.
Yeah. And it's a pretty important message then to say to your kids, you know what, no, this is, you know, I don't want you to live through this. We need to make some big changes here. I love the story how this took off. What does it feel like when you start to have celebrities and media picking up and saying, hey, you know what, Amber, you're onto something here?
Yeah, look, it was for probably about 4 or 5 months, I really hid my face from the brand. Like I just was like, don't tell anyone. Like all my family, I was like, don't tell anyone, it's me. You know, I've done lots and lots of different things career-wise, and I guess I was also concerned about what people would say would be, oh, what's Amber doing now? You know, but now I don't care. They can say it all they like. But It was kind of surreal. You know, my husband, he prints for me as well. So we're now in a studio and we print in-house. And the other day we were like, how did we end up here? We're not graphic designers. We're not printers. We're not any of that. I didn't know how to build a website before. And I built my website on my own. And yeah, we kind of sit back and go, how did this all happen?
So Amber, your background then, had you ever built a brand before? Because we had Kat Kalson on a couple of days ago and I was saying to her, you know, what I love about her work, and I always get a bit surprised when people don't understand it, but all her touch points talk. So her Instagram, her Facebook, her website, everything that you see is linked in, not just links, everything logo-wise is all talking to each other beautifully. And whenever you look at a product, it speaks to what you're seeing everywhere. What, have you built a brand before? Because this, you know, like I'm looking at the website going, she built this with having not built a website before?
Yeah, no. Look, I'm a hairdresser.
I love it.
I'm a hairdresser. You know, my hubby is a stage manager. We're not, you know, when I say that I designed my boys some T-shirts, I designed them in Word. Like we have Adobe Illustrator, but I don't know how to use it. Like we just wing it. If I don't know how to do something, we Google it. Like we're not graphic designers. We're not, you know, website developers. You know, thankfully now in the age that we're in, you know, there's platforms like Shopify and things like that that definitely make it easier. There's been huge bumps in the road though. You know, I've made massive mistakes in business, but I've definitely learned from them. And that's something that I believe is really, really important, is, you know, you have to make mistakes, but it's even more important to learn from them. And, you know, I, the website that I first built was, I mean, it was not too different to what, how it is now, but, you know, I didn't do a really big proper photo shoot, and that took time. You know, I started this brand with no financial backing. You know, I just left my workplace and I had nothing to go to. And I literally built this brand from nothing.
I love it. We share a similar story in this, and so this is what I love about you. And sharing something in common is that often, you know, we start out with just this great idea and no money to make something happen. Well, the only way that something will happen is if you are ready to put the boots on and do the work and find out and research and keep tweaking at it and working at it in hours. Are you still hairdressing now, or is this absolutely full time for you?
This is absolutely full time. I was working for my mum, who's a hairdresser, one day a week up until not last year. I keep forgetting about last year because it was COVID, but the year before. And now my mum works for me 2 days a week, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The tables have turned. It's quite funny. I'm like, I'm your boss now. When I started the brand also, I was drop shipping. So I had another company print the T-shirts and I didn't touch it. And it was meant to be just this side thing that just did whatever it did. The company would print the T-shirts and send them out. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't have to put my face anywhere near it. And then, you know, as it started snowballing, I said to my hubby, oh, I want to touch the T-shirts. Like when I get an order, I want to touch it. I want to pack it and I want to send it out. Not thinking that there'd be many that I'd have to take. And so I taught myself how to screen print. Like I'm the biggest YouTuber. If I don't know how to do something, I'm like, all right, well, you know, we needed to lay flooring at home. And I was like, all right, we're going to do it. We'll teach ourselves on YouTube. And my husband's like, oh, man, really? But I taught myself how to screen print, and which was messy, messy, messy. And we were printing the shirts on demand because we had no money behind us to hold stock. So I would print one tee and Mick would have to run the screen outside and clean it before the ink dried and the screen got ruined, and then bring it back in while I'm printing a different design, and then he'd run that one back out. And, you know, it nearly ended in divorce a few times, but, you know, we're still here.
I love these stories. Tell me about Bully Zero, because I do know, so $2 from every, is it item, or $2 from every sale gets donated. So why Bully Zero as opposed to other organisations?
Yeah, look, Bully Zero, we didn't partner with them straight away. We were with another foundation. But sort of as my journey got bigger, I really wanted to partner with an organisation that had the same values, that worked on the front line, and that are all about bullying, and not just bullying face-to-face, but cyberbullying as well. And I stumbled across Bully Zero one night, late Googling, like business owners do, and I reached out to Janet at Bully Zero and said, you know, I'd love to speak to you guys. And it was that week she came out to it. We were still in our garage at the time. And she came out, and I just loved everything about Bully Zero, the work that they do, not only in workplaces and in schools, but in communities. You know, there's online communities, there's in-person communities that face bullying as well. And they educate people in workshops about bullying, the impacts of bullying, and how to deal with bullying. And, you know, the workplace one was really close to my heart. I mean, I was bullied in school. You know, there was those instances as well. But the workplace one, I think being a parent and being bullied as an adult impacted me more. Also then seeing people with a bigger following online, the hate that they cop as well online really drew me towards Bully Zero with their cyberbullying stuff that they do also. So we partnered with those guys and we've been with them nearly 2 years, and we've donated over $15,000 to Bully Zero. We've funded 35 workshops in schools with Bully Zero. So we've reached nearly 4,000 kids, which I'm so excited about. And I, you know, COVID was hard last year because of, you know, we couldn't do much. So I'm really hoping the next 12 months with Bully Zero, we can fund even more and impact even more kids' lives.
Partnerships are everything, aren't they, in business?
They are. And, you know, Bully Zero, they're not a giant organisation that get government funding, or, you know, they're a really small organisation. There's a really small number of people that work for them. Ali, the founder of Bully Zero, he founded it after losing his son in 2009 to bullying. And I've met him, and he's a beautiful person, and I just believe so much in the work that they do, and Ali's passion and the work that he's done over those past, 12 years now. He just keeps going for his son, and it's something that really needs to be commended, because he's an incredible man that is selflessly trying to make it so no one else has to go through what he has gone through, which I find so selfless and just incredible.
Yeah. Hey, you talked about the challenges that you faced in those early days. So my hand is up, been there, done that 1,000 times over, but they make you better for it. What were some of those challenges that you had early days?
Look, I'm a risk taker in business. I'm a risk taker in everything. I'm like, yeah, let's do that without thinking about it. You know, there's certainly been some, I've never had a business like this before. I don't, I don't know about it. And I'm really thankful I've got some incredible mentors that are some of my closest friends now. But certainly, I mean, screen printing was quite a big mistake. You know, I was not a screen printer, and there was often times where I wasted a lot of t-shirts because I was rushing it, or I got ink on the sleeve or something like that. Also, you know, marketing mistakes. You know, I've tried different agencies and I've tried different things like that, and certainly the mistake there has been a monetary mistake, but it's part and parcel in business. You know, it's a roller coaster. These small businesses that survive, I think the statistic is 3% survive the first 2 years, and I'm like, yes, we made the first two. What's the next stat? But yeah, it's certainly, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in business, but I've also hit some really big wins as well.
And those wins, I mean, you're looking at the money that has been donated, the impact on kids in schools with the partnership with Bully Zero. That is just phenomenal. We always say about, you know, if we can make a difference in one person's life, we've already won type thing. So to think that the impact that you're having is not only, you know, it's nationwide. It's and it goes bigger than that because of some of the celebs you've had somewhere, you know, wearing your t-shirts and things like that. What have been the pinch me moments? You know, the night that you roll over and you do look at hubby and you go, I can't believe this is what we're doing right now.
You know, we moved into a studio in June last year. We have a giant digital printer that is harder than a child to keep alive. So we couldn't go into a warehouse space. So we had to find the right space for the printer, not necessarily for us, but for the printer. And, you know, June last year, in the middle of a pandemic, I signed a lease to a studio, and, you know, we moved out of our garage. We've been in our garage for 18 months, and it was hard, you know, juggling kids and fitting into a really small space. And, you know, we signed this lease, and again, it was a huge risk. We were in the middle of a pandemic, and my husband's like, really? I'm like, nah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. And thankfully it was. And, you know, I remember parking in my garage, and I looked across at my husband. And I was like, wow, we actually have like a proper workplace now, and we're not in our garage. And I feel like it's a real business now, which is crazy. It's ridiculous to think like that, but it's like, wow, it's a real thing now. It's not just a hobby in our garage. So that's definitely one pinch me moment. The other one would probably be, and it's hard to pick a celebrity because they're all, you know, everyone I've worked with has just been incredible. Certainly Jason Mraz in the States wearing my tee was like, whoa, that's really cool. And certainly, you know, we were featured in Vogue, British Vogue, in February, and that was amazing. And, you know, often my family say to me, you didn't tell me about that. They'll see something, like I'll post about it on our Instagram. They're like, why didn't you tell us you're in Vogue, or you're in That's Life, or you're in this, or you're in that? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not really great at speaking about myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, they'll see it when I post about it.
Yeah. And these are huge moments. These are moments that you not in your wildest dreams can imagine would happen.
Well, certainly British Vogue. I mean, we're not a fashion label. I'm a t-shirt and jeans girl, but we're not a fashion label. So for me, I don't know, I think that was a bit of subconsciously going, Vogue? That's for fashion labels. Like, you know, so it's kind of hard to go, it's hard for me sometimes to think about things like that because it is surreal. It's so surreal. It's like, what do you mean we're in British Vogue? That's massive. But yeah.
You kind of are a fashion label though now. What category do you put yourself in? I mean, you're championing social change, really. Yeah. And you're doing that through clothing. So how do you define your business? Like, if you had to define your business, what do you say that you are?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. We are a fashion label, and I guess like now, you know, I've designed a lot of the cuts of the t-shirts and the jumpers and the fabric. So I guess thinking about it, we definitely are a fashion label, but I definitely say that, you know, we're a clothing label with a conscience, and we're just trying to make a change.
Yeah.
So I kind of think we sit between a few different things. But I think I do need to recognise it as a fashion label now.
I mean, yeah, it's just that interesting question, I guess, that I was like, well, hold on then. If we're not a fashion label, then what exactly are we? Because it's just incredible what you've built. We have to talk about National Be Kind Day. I guess my obvious question is, was this and probably silly to you, like, oh, come on, Kate. Was National Kind Day one of those days on the calendar? You know, the International Donut Day, there's International Water Sports Day, or is this something that you've activated around your brand?
Yeah, no, so in 2019, I just started the brand in 2018, and I had been on Instagram, but not really like a personal Instagram, so I followed certain people and not huge on Instagram, and as I started the brand, I was following a lot of mummy bloggers and seeing the things that they would post about the hate that they would get, and it made me feel so sick. And I remember one day I saw Steph Luck post some messages that she'd been sent, and I was just disgusted. I just couldn't believe that someone would type that to another human being without knowing them. You know, you think you know people online, but you really don't, you know. So I reached out to Steph and said, hey, let's take over Instagram for a day. You know, we had these big dreams, and let's take over Instagram, and I'll send out the t-shirts. You speak to your friends in the mummy blogger world. I'll speak to my friends, the musos and the celebs and things like that. And we'll send out as many t-shirts as we can, and we'll just get everyone to post on March the 2nd and with the hashtag standing up to the bullies and just take over Instagram with kindness. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. And look, I sent out 80 t-shirts that year, and we had, you know, Beck Judd and Jimmy Barnes and Bonnie Anderson and some huge names post that year. And it was amazing, you know, and I had the Daily Mail did an article and said, you know, National Be Kind Day happened today. And I was like, oh, I like the sound of that. You know, the t-shirt that we promote for the day says Be Kind on it. So I was like, absolutely, National Be Kind Day it is. And then last year we sent out about 150 t-shirts, and we had some huge names involved again. You know, we had Samantha Jade and a lot of mummy bloggers involved again, which was amazing, and had a lot of media done on that. And then this year I've sent out close to 300 t-shirts, and we've got some huge, huge names involved this year, which is really exciting. And it's basically just about standing up to the bullies, like the hashtag says, and showing them that kindness wins. And on a platform that the bullies and the trolls use for hate, that kindness is spread even further.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely brilliant. So tomorrow is National Be Kind Day. What is your one personal prayer to the world?
Just to be kind. Just be kind and teach our next generation, which is our future, that kind is cool and that kindness wins.
Yeah. And I just think, so we're going to release this episode today. We don't normally record an episode on the day and then release it on the day. But I thought it was important that we did this, especially amongst our 100 women of influence, because it just might open up that conversation about, oh, things haven't been great at work lately, or my kids have been doing it a bit rough, or what are we doing to, you know, get on top of bullying as a society, I suppose. So that was really important for me to get you on the podcast today. So Amber, I hope that tomorrow is nothing short of phenomenal, not just for the brand, but for the whole movement and for Bully Zero as well. And I thank you for the work. I thank you for the vision. I'm sorry that you got bullied, but I love what you've done. It's like you've reclaimed yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Loved the episode? episode? Like and review us on your favourite podcast app and share with your friends on social media. Want to nominate? That's great. Hit us up with your nomination at aceradio.com.au. And don't forget to join us in the Women of Influence Facebook group for all the behind-the-scenes action.